And our text for this evening is Psalm 22 verses 6 to 21. Psalm 22 verses 6 to 21. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. Now, if you would ask me the question why I am preaching the cross at this time of the year, when the world is celebrating Christmas, my answer is, number one, I do not want to break the continuity of our study in the book of Psalms, and we are now in Psalm 22. Number two, I am reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I am also reminded of the sermon Dr. Billy Graham spoke during a Christmas season titled The Cradle, the Cross and the Crown. And the cross is the central theme of the Bible and the gospel message. If there was no cross, there would be no crown and we would be eternally lost. By the way, Jesus was not kept in a cradle, he was kept in a manger. And the real meaning of that Greek word manger is feeding trough, used to feed cattle. Luke chapter 2 in verse 7 we read, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. The world had no place for him, although he was the creator of the universe. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 we read, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. We, the people of the world, rejected him and crucified him on the cross. But God turned that most wicked act of mankind, that most horrible act of mankind, was turned by God to be the only means of salvation for every human soul. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Paul desired to preach nothing else but the person of Christ, who Christ is, and the work of Christ. So coming back to Psalm 22, we said last time that Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 form a group of three related psalms, a trilogy. And the theme of these three psalms is Christ the Shepherd. In Psalm 22, the Good Shepherd dies for the sheep. The verses that you'll find in the New Testament is John chapter 10, verses 14 to 18, about the good shepherd who dies for the sheep. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus himself. John 10 verses 14 to 18. In Psalm 23, the great shepherd lives for the sheep and cares for them. The reference in the New Testament is Hebrews chapter 13 verses 20 and 21. The great shepherd who lives for the sheep, he intercedes for us. He's our great high priest in heaven. In Psalm 24, the chief shepherd returns in glory to reward his sheep for their service. And the New Testament reference is 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4. We also said that in this psalm, David actually prophetically speaks about the death and resurrection of the Messiah. The first part of Psalm 22, that is verses 1 to 21, focuses on prayer and suffering and gives a vivid picture of the cross. The second part of Psalm 22, that is verses 22 to 31, announces the resurrection and expresses praise to the glory of God. Now we began our study of the first part of the psalm last Wednesday, and we looked at prayer in the time of suffering. We began studying verses 1 to 21. There were three burdens that moved David to pray for God's help, and these three burdens apply to Jesus the Messiah as well. Number one, he was abandoned by the Lord, verses 1 to 5. We saw that last time. Number two, he was despised by the people, verses 6 to 11. He was despised by the people, verses 6 to 11. Number three, he was condemned by the law, verses 12 to 21. Now we looked at verses 1 to 5. We'll go on to see verses 6 to 11. Psalm 22, verses 6 to 11. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Verse 6 applies directly to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The New King James Version reads, "But I am a worm and no man." When we study John's Gospel, there are so many I am statements. So many I am statements in John's Gospel. And this verse here in Psalm 22 is a forgotten I am statement. This statement speaks of how little value the leaders of Israel and the Roman officials placed on Jesus of Nazareth. They rejected him. They despised him. A worm is a creature of the ground. It is helpless. It is frail. It is unwanted. It is usually trampled to death. Isaiah the prophet prophetically speaks that the Messiah would be terribly disfigured by his enemies, and he would not even look human while he goes through suffering. Isaiah 52 verse 14. Now I read from the New Living Translation, Isaiah 52 verse 14. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured. He seemed hardly human, and from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. Psalm 22 verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. Despised by the people. Isaiah 49 and verse 7. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Again, in Isaiah 50 verse 6 we read, I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. Then in Isaiah 53 verse 3, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Psalm 22 verse 6, now I read from the New King James Version. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. The word reproach here means insult. In Psalm 69 verse 9 we read, for zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. He took all human reproach upon himself. In Psalm 22 verses 7 and 8 we read, all who seek me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. The fulfillment of this prophecy is seen in Matthew chapter 27. Here you find the fulfillment of the prophecy. In Matthew chapter 27 verses 39 to 40. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Again, we read in Matthew 27, verses 42 and 43. He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Mark chapter 15, verses 29 to 30. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Luke chapter 23, verses 35 to 37. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. In Psalm 22, David is telling God that from birth, he, God, had cared for him. So why abandon him now? That's the question David asked. Psalm 22 verses 9 to 11. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. David had learned to trust in the Lord from the time he was an infant, and he was not going to relent from trusting him now. Psalm 139 verses 13 to 16, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Now this word trust is used 3 times in verses 4 to 5 in Psalm 22 and also in verse 8. Psalm 22 verse 4 and 5. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Again in verse 8 we read Psalm 22 verse 8. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him, let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Psalm 56 verse 3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Trust is the antidote to fear. The antidote to fear and anxiety is simple childlike trust. Psalm 56 verse 11, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Again, Psalm 112, verse 7. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. Psalm 112, verse 8. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. You see, the devil wants you to be afraid and live in a continuous feeling of being forsaken by God. So don't succumb to his strategies. Simply trust in the Lord who has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. Remember always that the Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken so that you and I could be forgiven. And he will never forsake us. Isaiah 49 verse 16. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. John chapter 10 verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. We looked at how the Messiah was abandoned, despised. Now we will look at how he is condemned by the law. He was condemned by the law, verses 12 to 21. Psalm 22 verses 12 to 21. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. That's what we read in verse 12. Now Bashan was a very fertile area east of the Sea of Galilee and north from the river Yarmouk to Mount Hermon. Today it is known as the Golan Heights. The Golan Heights. And now it is Israel's territory. The psalm speaks about lions. Like a ravening and roaring lion, verse 13. Save me from the mouth of the lion, verse 21. Psalm 7, verse 2. Lest like a lion they tear my soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. Psalm 10, verse 9. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. Again in Psalm 17, verse 12. He is like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. Psalm 35 verse 17. How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. Psalm 57 verse 4. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Psalm 58 verse 6. O God, break the teeth in their mouths, tear out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Dogs are mentioned here in the psalm. The wild bulls encircled their prey and then moved in for the kill. The dogs described here, these are not domestic pets. The dogs that are described here were ravaging, savage, wild dogs. They lived in garbage dumps and traveled in packs looking for victims. And the people involved in arresting and condemning Jesus were under such beastly powers of darkness. He was condemned by them. Psalm 2 verses 1 to 3. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. It was all of hell being let loose on the Messiah hanging on the cross and the Father himself taking his eyes away from the Son. In Acts chapter 4, we find the apostles and the prayer warriors quoting Psalm 2 verses 1 to 3 in prayer when they were threatened by the Sanhedrin. I read to you from Acts chapter 4 verses 23 to 31. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in the city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Then in Psalm 22 verses 14 to 18, David described the cross. David actually describes the cross in Psalm 22 verses 14 to 18. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing they cast lots. He is crucified. He is stripped of his clothing. He is placed on a cross. And nails are driven through his hands and his feet. Prophetically, David is speaking of the cross. As he hangs between heaven and earth, his body is dehydrated. Blood drips from head to toe. Intense thirst takes over. And the end of all this is the dust of death. The dust of death. And my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. Like water that recedes and like wax that melts, his strength fades away and becomes like a brittle piece of pottery. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. When men put Jesus on the cross, they acted like animals. When man leaves God out of his life, he descends to the level of a beast, even worse than animals. The devil's zoo appears when Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he says, I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. Psalm 22 verse 6. Can you imagine bulls and lions and dogs and oxen chasing a worm? Oh, how much he humbled himself. Not only did he come into this world and take upon himself a human body, confining himself to the womb of a virgin for 9 months and being born as a helpless babe, being laid in a feeding trough. No place in the inn. No place in this world. His own did not receive him. They rejected him. The Jewish people rejected him. The world rejected him. They crucified him. How much he humbled himself so that you and I could be forgiven and never forsaken. Matthew 27 verse 35. The King James Version reads, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Mark 14 verse 24. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Luke chapter 23 verse 34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. In John chapter 19 verse 23 and 24 we read, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. In John 19 verse 28 we read, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. It is amazing that David should describe crucifixion because it was not the Jewish means of capital punishment. David would have never seen a crucifixion. Yet he describes the crucifixion. Remember that David was a prophetic psalmist. In Acts chapter 2 verse 30, speaking of David, being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. So David saw what would happen to the Messiah centuries later. Finally, we find that David looked up to the Lord and prayed one more time for strength he needed. Psalm 22 verses 19 to 21. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. In Psalm 22 verse 1, David mentioned that he felt forsaken. In Psalm 22 verse 11, he says, be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help. Psalm 22 verse 11. Then he asks a third time for the Lord to come near and intervene. Psalm 22 verse 19. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Now the sword mentioned in Psalm 22 verse 20 could refer to the Roman government. Romans 13 verse 4. For he does not bear the sword in vain. So that sword mentioned in Psalm 22 verse 20 most likely refers prophetically to the Roman government. It was Pontius Pilate who authorized the death of Jesus. In Psalm 22 verse 2, David wrote, Psalm 22 verse 2, O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. He felt that God did not hear, but now he almost shouts in Psalm 22 verse 21, save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. You have answered me. The latter half of verse 21, that is the turning point in the psalm. You have answered me. Psalm 22 verse 24. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. Today, we fight a spiritual battle. We fight a spiritual battle against these bulls and these lions and these dogs. They are the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realms. These bulls and lions and dogs, these are the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The battle is spiritual with its manifestations in the physical realm. We fight just as David fought, we fight. How? In prayer. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We fight in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Praying at all times in the spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Don't forget that. Making supplication for all the saints. You know what supplication is? Supplication means an extended time of prayer. That's what it actually is. You know how much of time do we actually spend in prayer? 5 minutes or 10 minutes? Or half an hour? 1 hour? Supplication is an extended time of prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Supplication. Pray. Pray for all the saints. All those whom you know that are involved in this battle. Pray for them also. David said in verse 21, you have answered me. Now today, we can pray knowing that we stand on victory ground because the enemy is a defeated foe. He hasn't conceded defeat, but we can anticipate victory because we stand on victory ground. And when we pray in faith, trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us, the blood which was shed for us on the cross, in the name of Jesus, and by his blood, we overcome. We overcome. Jesus is our victor. He is the conqueror. And our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Don't forget. Colossians chapter 3 verse 3. He is the one who fights the battle. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. We are acknowledging that he is ahead of us. He is the Lord of hosts, the captain of the heavenly armies. He is the Lion of Judah. He is ahead of us. He is behind us. He surrounds us with the joy of his presence. He fills us with his spirit. His glory is our rear guard. Colossians 3:3. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Colossians 2:15. I read from the NIV here. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Colossians 2:15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Without what he did for us on the cross, we are absolutely nothing. We deserve nothing but eternal hell. And that was where we were destined. That was what we were destined to. But God, in his mercy, in his grace, he set his eye on us before the foundation of the world was laid, drew us to himself with the cords of his love, drew us out of the domain of darkness, brought us into his light, set us free from bondage and slavery to sin and Satan, included us in his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation. By his wounds, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. He delivered us, made us his, engraved us on the palms of his hands. He tells us, no one can snatch you out of my hands. He was forsaken so that we would never be forsaken. Shall we pray?